The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning we turn back to a familiar passage of Scripture and look at Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. And out of verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, I find four ways in which we can celebrate Christmas. One out of each verse, actually. The shepherds had gone to see the baby Jesus in the manger. And they found the baby just as they had been told it was. And so verse 17, and said, when they had seen this, they made known the statement, or they shared abroad, King James said, which has been told to them about this child. Then all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept those things, or treasured all these things, pondering them or meditating upon them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity of worship around this great theme, the fact that you became a man and dwelt among us. We pray that there would be a new birth of freshness in our hearts, that we'll leave here rejoicing because we have sensed your presence. In Jesus' name. Christmas is such a familiar time to us. Those of us who have been a part of the church all of our life, we come in, we know what the sermon's going to be about, we know what all the things are happening, and yet we walk out the doors, we've got into the world, and there's a different emphasis, and you know, it's all about gifts and all those other things, and the decorations, the reindeers, and you know, we live in a world now that, an ungodly world that hates Christ and don't even want us to talk about Christmas and gets mad if we do talk about Christmas. But for those of us who know Christ, who come in and worship him, we recognize and realize that this is a significant moment in time when Jesus Christ was born, because it was God himself stepping out of the very existence in the realm of glory and becoming a man. Some of the great paradoxes of Scripture that we don't have time to talk about, but he was both God and man when he walked in this world. He didn't act like God part of the time and act like man part of the time. I don't know how to explain it, but somehow they were all blended together. He was God 100% of the time. He was man 100% of the time. And, you know, he acted in that way. But he came in here for a specific purpose. He was born because we had rebelled against God and we were sinners. And because of our sin, it separated us away from God. And the only way we could ever have a relationship with God again was for God himself to come in and deal with sin. The wages of sin is death. Somebody who was perfect, who had no sin, had to deal with that sin, had to pay the price for it. And he was born for that purpose, to go to the cross and to die for our sin. So we celebrate that. We celebrate all of that when we think about the birth of Christ and why he came into the world. And we look forward, I believe, to the day he's coming again. Okay, one of these days, he's going to come back not as a child in a manger, not as the suffering servant, not as the one who goes to the cross to die, but this time coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, with all of the power, with the angels and others behind him. It's going to be a grand day for those of us who know him. We can look forward to it. John saw all of the events that was going to happen, and he prayed, even so, come Lord Jesus. And, you know, I'd rejoice if he came today, okay? We can have great joy in the fact that he indeed is coming back and we know it. But it's so, you know, but at this Christmas season, there's all kind of ways people celebrate Christmas. Most of us are going to have opportunity to be with our families this week. And, we cherish those days. I cherish those days when we were small and our kids were little. And of course, I was pastor of the church. I'd never leave over the Christmas holidays. I always stayed. So my in-laws, my wife, first wife, was an only child, mother of my children. And so her parents would always come to our house, and I can, you know, cherish the time. They made a big deal out of decorations and traditions and all the things that was there. Some of that's wore off on me, through the years. But, you know, they enjoy it. But we look back on those great memories when the time when we're all there. this year, you know, for us, Connie and I, she's got kids, I got kids, they scattered everywhere, and they got families now going over here and families over there that they've married into. And it's not like you can all get them together, it seems like, at one point in time. You know, so you kind of spread it out over the week and get what you can get, okay? So we have different kind of celebrations going on all the week. And some of them we celebrate around family. Most of us will celebrate around food. That's a part of what, you know, the things that are going to be there and good. We enjoy the little kids, you know, especially as they enjoy that Christmas season. But in the process of all of that, I think there are some ways that we as Christians can really and truly celebrate Christmas that will bring honor to God. You know, whatever our traditions may be, these things will hold true for us who know Him. Four things I found in this text. In verse 17, it appears that there were those who simply published it abroad. They shared it. There were those who became His witnesses. What greater opportunity do we have in the Christmas season to be able to share that Christmas is about Christ and to become His witnesses? In verse 18, there were some who wondered. They marveled at the things they had seen and heard, and they were astonished at all of that. My prayer is that we'll be caught up with the wonder of real Christmas again. And then verse 19 says, at least, you know, there were some who pondered it. Who, you know, the word ponder means to simply sit and think on it, to wait and to look forward with anticipation of what's going to happen. They meditated upon it, Mary, in her heart. Mary had seen so many things that had happened. She didn't know what was going on and all of the answers, but she thought about them, meditated upon them, waiting for God to reveal everything that was going to happen as a result. And then in verse 20, the shepherds again, they left praising and glorifying God for all that God had done. It's there. The first, there were those who celebrated Christ's birth by being His witness. They made known His message. See, the angels had sung it. Can you imagine the circumstance, the situation? It's a familiar story. We know that it's there. They had heard the very voices of heaven who came and announced unto them that this Christ was there in the manger and all that was going to happen, that truly it was God who had come in the flesh. The Messiah they've been longing for and looking for and waiting for was certainly there. So immediately after all of that event had happened, they went to Bethlehem, and the child was still there laying in the manger, and they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby. You know, I don't know about them, but I would have wanted to get my hands on him. You know, I love holding those babies. Perhaps they saw Mary as she picked him up and cuddled him in her arms and held him, you know, and they went back and saw that it was everything that they had been told about him was true. And so what did they do? They left that place and they began to tell other people. Can you imagine the first person they walked out of the stable they run into? Hey, did you know that the Son of God has been born? The Messiah has come. Jesus Christ, I mean, is here. The Savior has come. And it's all true. God has become human flesh. They began to tell that witness everywhere they went. Come and behold Him. Come and see what He has to offer. Come and offer your life unto Him. And yeah, we can't really imagine what it's like. There was the simple and the sublime all mixed together. Simple in the fact that it was a small infant baby. But sublime in the fact that this was the infinite, all-powerful, almighty Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who had stepped out of His existence as that to become a man and to limit Himself in the form of a body. Daniel called the Ancient of Days, but that's sublime, but yet born of a woman. The simple, born in an inn, laid in a manger, a carpenter and a carpenter's wife with a small child. But the sublime is it was the multitude of the heavenly hosts coming and singing praises unto God and pointing us to the fact that Christ is born, you know, that grace and truth. What's simpler than simply to say, believe and live? What's more sublime than saying, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself? a combination of both the simple, the common, the sublime, the infinite that comes. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then as he grew and his age was, and after he rose from went to the cross and died and rose from the dead, Jesus made it very clear to us. He said, you are to be my witnesses. Have you heard the voice from heaven? Have you felt the rejoicing in your heart because you came to a place in your life where you trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Born again. And because of that, a lively hope in our lives and our hearts. If that's true, then folks, how can you keep quiet? We must tell others about Christ. You've heard the voice of the angels. You've felt the Spirit of God move in your heart, and you were born again to a new life in Christ. So what else can we do except to speak about what we've experienced, what we've seen, and what we've heard, what Christ has done in our hearts? Folks, we're his witnesses. And as a result, we stand there and say, Christmas is Christ. The Spirit of God speaks to our heart and offers an invitation, and it says, let him who heareth say, come. Folks, and that's the invitation we'll be offering to the world, for people to come to Christ, to know him as their Savior and as their Lord. And if you don't know him, then that's the invitation we offer today to you. Experience this Christ in a very living way, because he's here today. His living presence of Christ is in this place. The same Christ who took on human flesh and dwelt among us is the Christ who comes in his Spirit, dwell in our heart and life. We are to be his witnesses. How can we keep quiet? And then verse 18, there were some who celebrated Christmas. The shepherds left and went and told everybody about it. They were his witnesses. But then everybody they told, it says in verse 18, all who heard it wondered at the things they had been told to them by the shepherds. You see, this wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus is so simple and so plain. You go out into the world and you begin to talk to people about God becoming human and God dwelling among us and living among us. You know, the world, honestly, they won't hear the new story. Most people you're going to run into have already heard, or they want to hear what we have to say. Now, there are those who immediately oppose to it. We understand that. But folks, we have a great gospel. It's a wonderful, simple plan of salvation. You go and tell people, hey, I know how you can have a relationship with God. And they're caught up. I think most of the world's going to be caught up in some kind of sense of wonder. They want to hear the story. They want to know what's happening, what's taking place. You know, the problem with most of the world is that they get excited about the story at first, but then it doesn't take too long for the wonder to subside. They're not really astonished by what they've heard. It happens to us. We hear about somebody getting converted, somebody who had lived in great sin and who, you know, had been far away from God, and they get to hear the story about them being saved. We had great, that's wonderful. We hear about this revival taking place where you know, people are coming to Christ and being born again and baptized, and the excitement of the good things that are happening. We say, that's great. And we're excited about that for a moment. But if we're not careful, we get caught back up in the world and the things of the world and the pressures of the world until we lose the astonishment of what God is doing. And folks, I'm telling you, God's still at work in this world today. His Spirit is still alive. He's still touching hearts. He's still changing people. But see, sometimes there are some people like these that the shepherds witnessed to. They hear the message and they wonder. That wonder brings them to the place of astonishment about the things in which they have heard. And somewhere, somehow, that leads to the place of surrender and commitment and to accepting what this Christ has done and is doing within their lives. So I suggest to you that this Christmas season, with all the busy things we have to do, with all the pressure that comes and everything taking place, I suggest to you we stop long enough to wonder at what God has done. And the marvelous thing, you know, that God should forsake the very thrones and royalties above to come into this world and to suffer for us. We might cry out as David did, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought us here?" To think about the love of God, to wonder at how much God loves us, that he, even though we sinned against him, rebelled against him, turned our backs upon him and don't live for him and live in disobedience to him all the time, you know, to wonder at how much he loves us. For here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, said John. It's a holy wonder that leads to grateful worship. But you see, that wonder about how good God is and how much he's loved us, I tell you what it'll do. It'll lead us to a watchfulness over our lives. Or you see, if we really consider the mighty gift that God gave us in giving his son, Jesus Christ, it's almost like we'll hear the words of God say, like he said to Moses, "Take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground." And when we begin to think about that and how much he loves us and how much he gave himself for us, there's a glorious hope in that because Jesus has given himself for us. And so we marvel at it. And as we marvel at it, we say, what else can I do but live for him? What else can I do but watch how I live? What else can I do but to purify my life even as he is pure? And we get amazed at the wonders of this world. We can go to places like, there's, you know, there used to be 7 wonders of the world when I was a kid. I think now they come up with 9 or something. I don't know. There's all kind of things they can't have explanations for in our world today. And, you know, remember riding a motorcycle back a week after Connie and I married and went to California with my brother. We stopped at the Grand Canyon, and, you know, first time I'd seen it and looked out over it, it's a wonder, you know. Little boy who kind of stand there and looked and wondered what was really happening and took place, and then finally just said, "Something big must happen here." You know, there are places like that we wonder about, you know. My brother and I had a conversation standing on the cliff look over the Grand Canyon. I've been trying to witness to my brother for a long time. And he said, "Oh, it's just erosion over the millions of years." And I said, not true. I said, if that was the case, there'd be Grand Canyons all over this world, every river and everywhere else, and there'd be going on. I said, scientists have pretty well determined, that is creation scientists who believe in God, pretty well determined it happened at the flood when the waters receded from after God had flooded the world in the days of Noah. But the wonders, you know, they fascinate us. And we look around at those things, they astonish. But folks, I'm telling you, the wonder wears off after a little while. We say, "Well, I've seen that before. Not a big deal." But folks, the wonder of Christ becoming into this world as our Savior. God himself taking on human flesh. If we really wonder at that, we'll never get over it. It'll change our lives. Forever and ever. But then you can take that wonder a step further. When they were talking about Mary, who had been left back with a child, I don't know, I can picture her picking up that baby and holding him, you know, and babies are wonderful, okay? They grow up to be teenagers, that's when they break your heart. But babies are wonderful. You pick up the baby, hold that baby in her arms. Can you imagine that? Holding God in her arms. And he said she treasured these things in her heart. Kept them there. You know, She remembered what had happened to her, the events that were taking place, all of the mighty things that come, the shepherds coming, the angels singing, all those things. And man, she meditated upon all of that, said, what's going to come of all this? She didn't have the answers. She was just simply acting out of obedience to God. What's going to come of all of it? Meditating on it, thinking about it. We see the delight, the surprise, the wonder. But have we stopped long enough to really meditate on all that it means? Oh, we talk about it. We're familiar with the story. You can tell all the details. You know, we celebrate it, talk about it being the most important thing in our life. But have we really gotten alone with God and just said, God, I'm caught up in astonishment over what you did. Meditate on what God is doing. I tell you, it'll bring us to the place of surrender. It'll break our heart to remember what Christ has done. Turn it over. Meditate it in our minds. To really stop. Think about what we've read. Let God speak to us. Why not take the Christmas story, reread it slowly, calmly, somewhere alone, quiet with God, and just let God speak to us about the wonder of it all and meditate on it. Most of those verses we can quote from heart. But to stop and just let it penetrate our hearts and our minds. Drink in how much God loves you. Let it sink in. Ponder Him. And then verse 20 returns to the shepherds again. See, not only were they as witnesses, but when they left there, they went back and they were glorifying and praising God for all that seen and heard, just as been told them. Now, they were going back. Where were they going back to? They were going back to the hills to take care of their sheep. They went back to their ordinary, everyday lives. They didn't give up their business. They didn't give up their livelihood. They went back to the sheep pens, but there was something different this time. They went back glorifying and praising God in the midst of what they're doing, you see. And we can praise God in our everyday walk, in our everyday life, and we can glorify Him when it's there. The God who was at work in bringing this baby unto life and taking on human flesh is the same God that is at work today, who is at work in our heart when we come to know Christ, who is still working to see people come to know Him and to trust Him as our Savior and Lord. And just like the shepherds were ordinary people, so we go back into the world. We're ordinary people. We go back, you know, glorifying and praising God. Ultimately, we have no excuses. Our lives are not too busy. Some people say, well, I'm not trained. I'm not gifted. I can't be the witness. I don't know how. And what can we do? Folks, I'm telling you, you can praise God and you can glorify God. And as you do, God will bring you to the place you need to be. We are going to have opportunities, especially during this week and this time of the year, that are to be able to share Christ and to glorify God and to praise over what God has done. Seize the moment. Grab the opportunity. Praise God for what we've heard. Praise God that you hear that there's a Savior. Praise God that we hear a plan of salvation that is very simple. We simply turn from our sin and trust Him as our Savior, and He does everything else. Praise God that we have a Savior who we can call our own and that we can be a part of the family of God. Praise God that we're pardoned and our sin is forgiven and that we are saved and that God loves us. Praise Him for what we've heard. Praise Him for what we've seen and for what we've heard. Shepherds, he found it was true, just as they had been told. And I'll tell you something, when you come to Jesus, and you open your hearts and lives to the living presence of Christ, you'll find that everything that you've been told is true. He'll change your life. He'll give you reason to praise Him and glorify Him. He'll not only give you strength and hope in this world, folks, but I guarantee He'll give you hope for eternity. Are you going to stand it in his presence no longer? Any pain or suffering or heartache? You know, most of us, when we really grasp it, we'll be like the Queen of Sheba. We'll say, the half has not been told to me. Because we can only scratch the surface. We can praise God for who he is. Let me say a word to you who may be here today without Christ. If you're here today and you've never met Christ, and in this passage of Scripture, you have to start at verse 18, not 17. Because verse 17 talks about witnessing. And if you're not saved and never really trusted Jesus, then you don't have anything to share. You don't know what it's about. But I invite you to come to verse 18, what it said, to wonder at the things God had done, to wonder at the message that is there, to move from wondering to meditate on it, to think about it. And I'll tell you what will happen. It will bring you to the place that you will trust Christ, and then you will have reason to glorify and to praise God for all that he's done within your heart and life. And as soon as that happens, then you can go back to verse 17 and you can share the message as the shepherds did when they went out from there telling everybody what Christ has done in your heart and life. I encourage you today to come to Christ if you've never trusted him. He'll save you. And then to those of us who know Christ. And what are we to do? My prayer is we'll walk out of here with a fresh new experience of the birth of Christ in our hearts. And we'll go out telling others. As an old poem said, that then will I tell sinners round what a dear Savior I found. I'll point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. And then when we get out there to begin to tell the message, it stirs our heart to renew our wonder. We meditate upon those truths in our own lives, and it'll bring us to the place of commitment where we'll be praising and glorifying God with all of our heart for the rest of our life and throughout all of eternity. If you're here without Christ, trust him. If you're here as a child of God today, put him first in your life. You'll never regret those decisions. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to look at your word, to be challenged, to celebrate Christmas around its real meaning. And we pray that now as we sing this moment of invitation, that you will draw us to yourself, that we'll commit our lives to you today. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.